You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with MLB.com Marlins reporter Joe Frisaro. Joe, the Marlins right now lose on Monday, bounce back on Tuesday. They're actually playing right now as we record this podcast. It's obviously a big series right now against the Giants, a team that's obviously in first place as the Marlins battle for the wild card. Let's start with Tuesday night's game, though, and Tom Kohler coming through in a big way for this team. Seven scoreless frames for him. He allowed just two hits. He struck out six, and they get a close win. What stood out the most to what Kohler was able to do on the mound?
Yeah, Tom Kohler is, you know, he kind of has a history of just being one of those guys that grinds out starts. And, you know, key with Tom is command. I mean, he gets in trouble and he walks a ton of guys. And in his last four starts, particularly, he has really kind of reduced that. He's very competitive. And, you know, he's got a really good breaking ball, if that's in the zone, he's hard to hit. And he's given them, and you know, a real jolt in the last month. And Don Mattingly has kind of just said that pretty much the last month he's been this team's best starter, and that includes Jose Fernandez in that group. So clearly after a 14-inning game and a heartbreaking loss when you blew a 5-1 lead, they needed a starter to go deep into that game, and Kohler did just that, you know, going to seven and two hits, I believe, and no runs. They win the game 2-0. So good to get him back on track, you know, against a really good team like the Giants, and to prevent them from falling into type of slide. Vanessa Kohler has kind of had a history of doing here.
Nobody has more wow moments at the plate in Major League Baseball these days than Giancarlo Stanton, Joe, and a couple of them in the last week. Last night, a broken bat double that was almost a broken bat homer. Unbelievable. The bat actually breaking in his hand and the end of the bat flying past third base and the ball carrying, I think, 360 feet or something like that. And he had a 504-foot home run in the last week as well. When he's locked in, nobody hits the ball harder. But, I mean, what's the reaction been like in these ballparks when he does these types of things? Because I know the home run came in Colorado.
Yeah, if you notice, he has a history of hitting the ball really far in Colorado. And I think if he actually played for the Rockies, that cast might break. he plays. Keep this in mind, Tim. You know, you play at sea level in Miami with, there's no altitude, obviously, and there's, thick humidity. The ball just does not travel here, yet he somehow defies, all the elements, and he's done it ever since, he put a baseball uniform on. I mean, I go back to hearing stories when he was playing the area code games as a prospect. Over, I think they're playing at Long Beach State, and they did, batting practice, and he was hitting the ball, 30, 40, 50 feet farther than everybody in his draft class. And he does it at the big leagues. I mean, as you noted, he just completely obliterates the bat and basically hits the ball off the wall in left field at a place that in other ballparks it probably would have been a home run. The ball reminded me the most of, and I remember back all the years I covered this team, I believe it was 2002 when Barry Bonds hit his 601st home run. It was at Sun Life Stadium, the Marlins' old ballpark, home of the Miami Dolphins. And Barry Bonds of Josh Beckett hit a ball similarly, where he hits it and the bat just kind of blew up, and the ball went over the wall in right field, and Bonds ran the first base holding the bat handle, and he's looks at Derek Lee, he kind of smiles, he didn't know what to do, he dropped the bat handle and went around the bases. Stanton almost had that type of moment, where I don't even think G knew where the ball was. He was a little late getting out of the box, but they didn't even know, where the ball was, because that kind of, you see the bat break in half, you don't really know what to expect. You're fearing, shrapnel or whatever else is splintering around, But, he's a remarkably strong guy. We saw at the Home Run Derby, he's one of those guys who's one of the faces of this sport, a larger-than-life figure, and he's giving a lot of fans that watch him moments that will last a lifetime.
We continue to track Ichiro Joe, and we've been tracking it here for pretty much all season with the road to 3,000. And on Sunday, he finally gets to the milestone. He does it with a triple, which was pretty cool, a stand-up triple. fitting for Ichiro, maybe a younger Ichiro who did that a little more often. But now that he's done it, and obviously it was a great moment and a great reaction, what is Ichiro's role? What happens the rest of the year? Does he stay in this current role? Should he be playing a little more? I know you almost can't play him more because of the talented outfield that this Marlins team has.
Well, let's go to the hit itself. And, you know, knowing – I kind of always was joking around as to with the Japanese media and others I would ask. That might have been said on the podcast. I thought he was going to homer on 3,000.
Yeah.
You know, I really did. I thought, you know, he hasn't hit a homer this year. And I will tell you this. I mean, when he got the hit in San Diego that put him ahead of, you know, Pete Rose in terms of the combined hits, it was a double – off Fernando Rodney, smoked down the line off Rodney, closing then for the Padres. And just what he said afterwards, because he got two hits that game. One was like a swinging bunt. And I know just from Ichiro and Alan Turner, his interpreter, it really meant to him, he knew the significance, and he did not want anything controversial about that hit. You know, the last thing you want to do is you're a guy who gets a lot of infield hits. The last thing you want to do is get a bang-bang play at first that's reviewed and either the call upheld or overturned, or, you know, because that's going to be the video highlight that goes out there. And that's why I thought Ichiro was going to kind of muster it up and drive the ball, perhaps, you know, leaving zero doubt about the authenticity of that hit. And so for him to triple off the wall in, you know, at that moment at Coors Field, I thought was so fitting to just what it means to him. This guy didn't look, keep in mind, throughout all that, he did not look to bunt his way on. Yes, he got, I think, 299, obviously, was an infield hit to third, but he wasn't looking to bunt or do anything just to get that number and then continue. So for him to hit a triple and a no-doubter was special, and it kind of, you know, represents the man that got the hit and his beliefs. Now, you know, answering where you go from here, you know, focus entirely now on the mission. That's the team mission. It's been all year, and Ichiro got folded into it, is to get to the postseason. And, you know, it's kind of right now all hands on deck. You know, you see, I'm watching David Phelps pitch right now, going from the bullpen to the rotation because there was a need. You know, Ichiro's role is the fourth outfielder. Stanton right now, you know, isn't starting today because of a little hip flexor. If he can't go, or if Ozuna, who has been in a slump, can't go, then you're going to see Ichiro. But right now, it's all numbers to the side. The only numbers that matter to this team are winning. And, you know, that's what they're looking at, and that's their focus. And Ichiro's folded right into that as well.
A.J. Ramos has been so good this season in that closer's role, Joe, and now he goes to the disabled list. The good news for the Marlins is that they went out and they traded for Fernando Rodney before the trade deadline. So you have a guy who's been there and who's done it. Maybe he's not the ideal guy to be closing at this point in his career for this team, but at least he's a guy who knows the role. Will he get all the save opportunities for the most part, or will Don Mattingly move things around a little bit?
Well, I think the answer is probably yes, but keep this in mind. You know how it is. I'm a firm believer, Tim, that teams that, you know, go to the postseason, you basically need – you don't need two closers. It's not like you close by committee, but you need a second person who can close because you win a lot. You know, it's something new for the Marlins right now where they're winning more than they're losing. And you know, you're going to – you know, if you win four or five in a row, there's a chance your closer's going all that time, unless you're blowing everyone out, which – you know, gets harder and harder as the year goes on. So getting Rodney was huge there. So, but yes, he is, you know, he will get the lion's share of it, I'm sure. You know, you got Barikov who can do it or be asked to do it. You know, the guy, like I said, David Phelps had a few saves this year as well, but right now he's in the rotation. So the A.J. Ramos injury is a significant one, and it potentially could be a playoff-changing one, you know, adversely for the Marlins if he does not come back. Now, I know this because I saw, you know, A.J. had that blown save in Chicago where he threw the wild pitch and gave up those runs. And a lot of people were saying, oh, the moment or Wrigley Field got to him. I had talked to him. I knew the severity of that finger. But, you know, he showed me that thing was twice the size of his other finger. You cannot throw a pitch effectively and break a pitch, you know, and spin it as you would like to when your knuckle is twice the size that of its normally. And it's the middle finger, which does so much on the grip of your, you know, your changeup he was feeling it heavily on his changeup. And this guy, you know, he's not the overpowering throw 98 guy. He's the guy who beats you because he gets saves because he throws four pitches effectively. He fields his position. He does so much well. He holds runners. You know, he does all that, makes AJ a very effective guy. So the key is that fracture. Now, it's not, it's just more than just a swollen finger. There's a fracture, and that thing's got to heal. And then on top of that, he's going to have to, you know, come back and pitch effectively and get them, you know, to either he slides back into the closer role or he goes into a setup role. But bottom line is they need him, Tim. You know, that, in my opinion, I'm not sure the playoffs are reachable without AJ Ramos. So more than who actually gets the saves down the stretch, I just think his availability is going to be real crucial. And that injury does concern me that it could be, you know, you hope for the best. You hate to see injury decide, you know, postseason fate. But you like to see that, you know, he's hoping at the end of this month he'll be ready. And maybe it will be, but I'm always skeptical until you see how it's proven.
Great stuff, Joe. I'll let you get back to your game. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.